Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
This is a Game Day podcast from TalkSport. Game Day, your verdict.
The festive football continues, and as ever, it delivered some great entertainment on game day with TalkSport. Watford's revival under Nigel Pearson continued with a comfortable win over Aston Villa. Everton striker Dominic Calvert-Lewin scored yet again under Carlo Ancelotti, and Spurs dropped points on the road against Norwich. You had your say on TalkSport, and here's the best of your thoughts from your verdict with me, Lindsay Hipgrave, and Darren Bent. This is the Game Day Your Verdict podcast. Right, let's get straight into it and head over to the London Stadium with Joe Shannon, who commentated on Manuel Pellegrini's last game in charge of West Ham.
The final whistle goes. And just listen to the boos in East London. West Ham, full of doom and gloom, in big trouble at the bottom of the Premier League table. Manuel Pellegrini under huge, unrelenting pressure now. Beleaguered, embattled, he walks down the tunnel. And is that the last we've seen of Pellegrini?
Manuel, first of all, big positive tonight was the return of Lucas Fabianski. Saved the penalty, and I thought actually he was your best player.
Yes, I think that Luca always gives a lot of confidence to the team. Unfortunately for him and for everyone, we couldn't win this game. I think that we didn't play well the first half. But maybe we draw in a very good play in the last minute. But the rest of the second half, we didn't have the movement, the necessary movement to create a space against a very good team as Leicester.
What was the thinking in taking off Sebastien Haller? I thought you might leave him on, bring on Antonio and play two up front.
No, because Sebastien played 70 minutes 2 days before. I saw him that he was tired. In that case, we cannot play with two strikers because in that moment Leicester had a lot of possession of the ball. Was a risk also for Antonio to play because he was not 100% recovered. That's why I delayed his start on the team. Now we'll see if he has a problem in muscle injury again. But I think that in this case, Seba gave all what he could give today.
Good to see Pablo Fornals get his first goal for the club.
Yes, I think Pablo, the other games, was doing good things, good assistance. He wanted to score today. He scored in a good play with a good cross of Felipe, but I feel that most of them are under pressure and they have to improve their performance.
You mentioned pressure. A lot of people talking outside of the club about whether or not your future and the pressure on you. How do you see the situation tonight, having lost again with Bournemouth coming up on New Year's Day?
No, you know, as a manager, when you don't have the result that you need to have, of course, everyone will talk that you will not continue, that you will be sacked. But that's not a matter that depends on me. I try to recover the confidence of the player because I think that it's a team that wants to do it. I don't think that this team demonstrates lack of spirit, but we demonstrate lack of working or lack of ability to create important chances in the opposite side. And unfortunately for us also, we concede normal one very easy goal.
Reese on the line, he was at the game today. Reese, you heard what the boss there, Manuel Pellegrini, had to say. He said he's got to try and not think about getting sacked. That decision's out of his hands, and he's got to try and rebuild the confidence of the players. Do you think he's the man to do that?
I fell asleep during an interview. I mean, the guy is so cool.
Speak your mind, Reece.
We inspire you, Darren, half time. We had a good spell at the end of the first half. Get the goal. What's he said to him at half time? We've come out. It's the worst we've ever played. After all, we've got scored a good goal and a bit of momentum. The crowd got going a bit. And we come out half time. Lapse of days called Masuaku. I've never seen a geezer play as well. Honestly, I think he thought he was playing in blue tonight. He was absolutely awful. And we're giving a new 4-year deal to the guy.
Oh, no. Listen, it's hard.
We've got a player, Frederick, championship player. Valbuena, Brazilian league. Who are these people? We're in a new ground. What's the point of moving to that new ground if we're going to sign championship players like Fredericks, sign a guy who's made his name on 4-4-2, stick him up front and he's on for 60 minutes, and pull him off and bring another striker on? What's Hannah done to Pellegrini? He's not giving a Christmas present.
It was tough.
That's your edit.
It was always tough when he was an away player and used to go to Upton Park because the fans obviously hostile. But to be fair, I can only imagine how hard it is at the minute playing there. And you obviously play for West Ham with the fans. But yeah, I can fully understand. I mean, as I said, when Pellegrini, I'm not sure he does his due diligence on teams he plays against tactically sometimes. He's left wanting and not doing his homework on the opposition players that he's playing against. But also as well, I always get the feeling with Pellegrini, it's very much the players and me. Like, I've won the Premier League, I've been at big clubs, and now you lot are honoured to have someone of my presence here. And I don't think it doesn't fit. Like, I understand that when West Ham went and got him, he had to get him because of his pedigree, what he's done in the game. But I just think right now, someone like a Rafa Benitez, who's won big trophies as well, would be getting a lot more out of this squad than someone like Pellegrini would.
What about Rafa Benitez, Reece? Would you be happy if West Ham went for him?
No, I want David Moyes back. I liked him. We played well. So he got the best out of an Arabic. He found a system that suited our wing backs. And we looked solid. I think the owners have gone for this sexy name in Pellegrini because he's won the Premier League. But David Moyes, would we be full from bottom with David? I don't think we would be.
He did a good job the last time. The word is that David Moyes would only take the job again, Darren, if it was permanent, not again on a temporary basis to the end of the season, which I guess from his point of view is fair enough. Do you think it would be the right move to go back in for him?
See, I'm not quite sure. I do think Rafa Benitez would be a bit more suited, but also as well is that a lot of people, I get that fans' frustration, Reece, who just called up, because a lot of these fans, not fans, but a lot of teams now and owners want this ticky-tack of fancy football, like this philosophy of how the game should be played today. Well, at the end of the day, that doesn't get you results.
They look at Man City and they want that, don't
exactly.
they?
But not everybody can make Manchester City, do you know what I mean? Like, everyone keeps talking about the philosophy and how you've got to play, and we want to play out from the back, we want to watch attractive football, but at the end of the day, it's a results business. So you can look as pretty as you like, as we've seen some teams do, but if you're not winning games, then what's the point in doing it? You might as well go a bit more direct and at least be hard to play
and
against.
Fans want fight. They want to see fight and passion
exactly.
and players running their socks off more than anything,
and I think
don't
that's
they?
Where the owners sometimes, there's a bit of a discontent between the owners and the fans, is that the owners want a manager that can play this different brand of football, and sometimes that doesn't always work.
Game day. Your verdict.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Reece has already been on the phone to say he wants David Moyes back. There's a text here saying a manager returning to a club rarely works. Chris Hughton would be the perfect fit for the Hammers. That's from Big L.
Yeah, I agree with him to a certain degree that I think when you try and bring a manager back sometimes who's already been there, it's people automatically expect miracles and it doesn't always work. Chris Hughton would be a great a great man for the job. I mean, I was shocked when Brighton let him go because he'd done great things, kept him in the division. But then when you see what their manager's doing at the minute and Graham Potter, I mean, you can understand why now they wanted to move away from Chris Hughton. But I think he's definitely somebody who could go to West Ham, steady the ship and start getting results. And I think the players will start playing for him because he understands him. And first and foremost, he's got a rapport about him as well, Chris Hughton. I've spoken to him a few times. And when he speaks to you, you want to listen, you want to learn. He was my coach at Spurs. Mm. You want to get better. And I think some of these players need someone of that character to maybe go in the door and maybe there'll be a bond between the fans and the players and the coaching staff.
Let's bring Steve in, who was at the game.
I think Darren's right. I think we've got a team of pretty good players. I think, you know, when you look at Anderson, Alaire and Noble, all these great players who've played well in the past, and suddenly under Pellegrini, we're a shambles.
Yeah.
We're an absolute shambles. To be honest, I'd go back to our roots. You know, Chris Hughton, yeah, he's got a link with West Ham. But I would give Ginger Pele, I'd give James Collins a go. I think he'd fire the boys up. I really do. And I think we've got to, A, go back to our roots, but B, go back to someone who understands the club, who will fire them up, who won't stand for players not tracking back or not putting the effort in that, you know, us West Ham fans appreciate.
So you talk about James Collins, the centre-back that was obviously there from Wales.
Yeah, because I honestly, the guy's been through it with us. He knows what it's like to save us from relegation. He was there back, you know, the famous Tevez year.
Yeah, I remember, because you
relegated
us. He was
there, he was part of that team. He knows what it's like. He might need someone alongside him. I appreciate that. But I think it's that heart, that passion that we need back.
Yeah, see, look, I get the heart and I get all that, but I just think for James, for starters, I'm not even sure he wants to manage just yet. I think he still wants to play. But at the same time as well, that is a big job to take on as your first job. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know you're right in what you're saying. He's a passionate player. I played for James for a while now when was at Villa. And you're right, he does care a lot. But you've got to remember that West Ham are in a real tough position. And for his first job, does he want to go in there? And yeah, he done great things for your club. He was passionate. The fans loved him. But if he goes in there and he fails in his first job, the fans are going to be on his back. So I'm not quite sure I don't think he's the right man for the job right now, no.
I hear that. Like, you know, the last thing I want to do is be getting on Jimmy Collins' back. maybe it is putting Hughton alongside him. But it's got to go back to people who understand West Ham inside out and what we appreciate. And we don't, you know, I've watched this for years and years. I know we're not going to win every week. I know our expectations are so often way above the level that we really are. But we just want to see people playing for the badge, you know. And I think these boys can do that, but they need somebody else in charge.
Would you take Big Sam back?
No, I don't think so. I there's not a lot of love lost between me and Big Sam, I'm afraid. He said a lot of nasty things, I think, when he left.
Yeah.
Personally, and I think we'd have to pay him a fortune as well. I don't think he would come back cheap, would he?
What about Rafa Benitez if he wanted to come back from China?
Nah, Rafa's, I think his recent form isn't great. Which is getting more out of that Newcastle team than Rafa seemed to. And I think we'd just be signing another Pellegrini.
No, see, for me, Rafa would be perfect. I don't think Rafa would be like Pellegrini, because we've seen Rafa manage at Newcastle. He managed in the Championship, got them promoted, steadied the ship at Newcastle, and I think he'd be perfect. Whereas Pellegrini, he'd never been down there. He doesn't know what it's like to be down there and fight to get points every single game. He only knows success.
Well, he overachieved with what he had at Newcastle. That's the thing. The problem is with the squad West Ham have, they're seriously underachieving. At least he would get them more back to a level.
100%, Lindsay. I agree 100%.
Game day. Your verdict on Talk Sport.
West Ham losing at home to Leicester's second string team, effectively. Brendan Rodgers making 9 changes today. Should it be David Moyes back in? Rhys called earlier to say he certainly thinks so, but Nick is on the line right now. Nick, you disagree with that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I live up in St Helens between Manchester and Liverpool, and from all the scousers that I mix with up here, Moyes has just got loser written all over him, on his forehead. And Allardyce, I remember when we were passing the ball sideways and backwards at the stadium, you know, the Olympic Stadium, and he cupped his ear to us, the supporters. So Allardyce is just another, you know, money in the back pocket. So, no, they're not the answer. We need somebody, Roy Keane, someone that when they come off at half time is going to lay into the players.
Let's speak to Vic, who is a West Ham fan. Hi, Vic.
Hi.
Well, what are your thoughts on that? Because when David Moyes did come in 2017, he steered you to safety and did a good job, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I actually, one of those that would like him back, because he'll sort out the defence first and foremost, and they play more as a team, a unit, as they did before when he was there. And he you know, got things better for us, and we finished 13th that year. Maybe he might not be the long-term answer, but I would give him a couple of years contract to sort things out. I mean, really and truly, looking at it on hindsight now, it looks as if when he did save us from going down, he should have got a contract then and build, because he had Stuart Pearce and other people in the backroom staff that he had, good people that understood. And I know Stuart Pearce understood West Ham because he played for West Ham as well. And I think he should have been given the contract there, because now it's turned out that although Pellegrini's won the league, he's living on past glories, and now his past glories is now catching up with him with the way football's playing nowadays. You've got different tactics and things, and he's only known one way, and he's very stubborn too. If you've got one tactic that's not working, you change. And when you play at home and you've got a big man like Haller up front, he needs support. He ain't got the support. Like, again, today, the same thing was happening.
Did you want to see Haller and Antonio together? Were you really frustrated with his substitutions?
Yeah, because, you know, I look back, I've supported them a long time, and when the West Ham days gone by, maybe Darren would agree with me, but we used to have two up front, you know, back in the day with Hurst and Clyde Best, and we had Pop Robson, and then we had McAvaney and Cotty more recently, and then we had Trevor Morley playing up front with, you know, Jimmy Quinn and McAvaney when we were relegated in the Championship. Even then, we had two strikers when we play at home. In any case, for the home matches, the emphasis is on the home team to attack and to score. But when Haller's lacking support with his height, you know, it's very frustrating going to watch them and seeing the same thing over and over again. You know, you would have thought a coach of Pellegrini experience would get the message, knowing the fans upset, and do something to change it so that...
I think this is the problem, and you're right in what you're saying there, because when you talk about the two up top, I remember watching West Ham a couple of weeks ago against Southampton. Haller and Antonio ripped them to pieces when they played. The two were brilliant.
Let's bring in Lee, who was at the game as well.
To be honest, I don't think you can blame Pellegrini. The players just aren't working for him. They really aren't.
What you think?
Lanzini, a couple of years ago, unbelievable. I don't know what's happened to him. Really don't.
I think he's still trying to find his best. He had that big injury, and I think he's trying to get back to his best. But I just think West Ham have got some very good players. You look at Felipe Anderson, these guys, they've got players, but...
But do they have to start asking questions of themselves?
Oh, like, yeah, 100%. And I also don't think as well that these players... Mark Noble will know exactly what's going on. He is Mr. West Ham. And I think... some of these players don't quite understand the situation that they're in, that they can't coast through these games. You need every single player, like Antonio, running through brick walls. Even if he's not playing that well, he's still going to work hard for the team. And I think they've got too many players in their team that, yeah, have got real quality, but don't understand that they're in a dogfight. So they don't know how to do the other side of it.
Game day, your verdict on Talk Sport.
Well, after his side's 3-0 defeat to Watford today in a relegation six-pointer, Dean Smith told TalkSport's Alex Crook that decisions didn't go his side's way.
Matt Target goes down with a hamstring injury. Jack Grealish doesn't know. He's playing on, they win the ball. And Matt Target's playing everybody on, and they get a penalty that shouldn't have even been a penalty. I've seen it back, he's shoulder to shoulder. Troy goes down easy. And then it goes upstairs to the ivory tower, such as VAR. And where there's no feel about the game, you know, instead of walking 30 yards over to a screen where he can look at it and say, yep, sorry, I've made a boo-boo, it's not a penalty, you know, we're leaving it somebody else to make a decision on it, you know, and my lad's head seems to get frazzled from that, and then Jack Grealish right in front of me gets fouled. Again, no free kick given, fourth official tells me their players played it, I've seen it back, it's nowhere near the ball, you know, it's a foul in anybody's money. But no, we'll let it play on, we'll go through, they score. And then again, we still don't walk over to a screen that's there for everybody and everybody else in the world's using. Instead, no, we'll go to the ivory tower and see whether there's a foul or not. They don't think there's a foul.
Well, Dean Smith not happy with the decisions today, but frustration really growing in the stands from the Villa fans, Darren, aren't they? How concerning is their form at the moment? They are heading into the new year in the bottom three, 18 points and in a relegation scrap.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they've lost five out of their last six, which is scary enough. They can't keep clean sheets. I know, obviously, Tyrone Mings has been out, but they were losing games when he was in the team. And it's been tough. I mean, the Southampton game took a lot out of them, but today, I mean, they were dreadful today. Heaton, who's been very good this season, he didn't have his best game. I mean, a couple of the goals were quite soft, but I don't quite know what Aston Villa are going to do at the minute, because it's getting to a point where the teams around them are all picking up points now. You look at Everton, they're starting to go up, shoot up the league. Southampton are playing really well at the minute, and Watford now under Pearson, they're getting results as well. They're getting them
against
momentum.
Them just to make matters
yeah,
worse.
So it's a tough time. I wouldn't get rid of Dean Smith. I think for me, he's the perfect man. I think you need to stick with him, and if the worst comes to the worst, you know there's a guy there who can get you back up again. So I'd stick with Dean Smith, but it's worrying times. And also as well, you look at Jack Grealish, who is their best player. Everything that they do well goes through him. He's going to be looking at this situation as well and thinking, well, the Euros are in the summer. What do I do? Do I stay here and get in this relegation battle, or do I get out and try and, you know what I mean, cement my place in that squad? So I think there's so many uncertain questions about this Villa team at the minute. I just think, what does he do?
Well, Darren's saying you would stick with Dean Smith. Jamal, who is a Villa fan, what do you think? Are you still backing the manager?
100%, I'll stick with Dean Smith. 100%. Like, you've got to look at where we were this time last year and currently where we are now. You know, I know the results over the last couple of games have been terrible, and people are saying the style of play is not what we were promised. But I genuinely think that, you know, I feel like when you're looking at sacking a manager and you're looking at making a change, you've got to look at, is there something better out there? And at the moment, I think that, you know, we know Dean Smith's stubborn, and we know we love the attacking play. And so far this season, we haven't really seen much of that. However, I feel like there's only one man in Dean Smith that can lead the club forward. You know, I've seen Sam Allardyce being mentioned. I've seen Chris Hughton. I've seen Rafa Benitez. Like, you've got, like, even just looking at someone like Rafa Benitez, like Steve Bruce, who us as Villa fans, you know, we didn't have a good time with him, and we essentially hounded him out. Look at what he's doing with Newcastle, and you want to bring in a man that...
Well,
okay,
we have lost the last two
games,
but anyway.
He's lost the last two games, but looking at where they are in the table compared to where they were under Rafa, I know he didn't have necessarily had the resources. You know, these are quite short-term appointments. And I even if we did get relegated, I would still stick with Dean Smith, you know.
Yes,
we would lose players like McGinn, Jack,
Jamil,
Mings as well. I think you've got to look at the long-term project. And I think, you know, even if we were to go down, I think Dean Smith could, you know, in a year or two, we could come back even stronger.
Jamil, I know there was a lot of frustration from some fans today, because you've got Dean Smith saying he wants to build the team around Jack Grealish, but yet he's playing him right out on the left where he's not most effective.
But you know, though, some people have said, though, that they think that's his best position.
And what do you think?
I don't think so. I like him in the middle, like number 10, getting on the ball, making things happen. But the thing is, he's that important to the way they play that at the minute he's kind of got no responsibilities, because he's having to drop deeper and deeper to get the ball. I mean, yeah, he draws a lot of fouls, but he's having to drop deeper and deeper to get the ball. He can glide past people like they're not there. Then he's asking to, so basically, take the ball off the back four. He's been asked to dribble up the ball 60 yards. He's been asked to assist. He's been asked to score goals. I mean, everything that he does, he's so vital to that team. And at some stage, you're going to get these kind of problems that teams you're playing against are going to go, well, we know he's their best player, so we're just going to take him out of the game, even if we double up on him. And unfortunately, at the minute, Wesley's not pulling up any strings. He's not scoring any goals. So effectively, if they stop Grealish, and with McGinn being out as well, you stop Grealish, you stop the whole way they play. So that's what you've got to do. Teams at the minute are looking at that and going, well, yeah, Jack is head and shoulders their best player. So if we stop him, then that stops
most
everything
foul
else.
Player in the league.
Exactly, that stops everything else.
Jamil, what needs to change if you are going to stay up?
I think just looking at the signings, so like obviously you mentioned Jack playing on the left. I don't mind Jack on the left, but as Darren said, you absolutely got to play him as the number 10 behind Wes. But the big problem is the wingers. Al Ghazi and Trezeguet are not delivering at the moment. They, with the balls into the box, so Wes likes the ball into the feet. You know, just lumping the ball 50, 60 yards up to Wes, expecting him to hold it up. You know, that's why today, I think, in the first half, we had like 30% possession. You know, we don't have the outlet up front from the wingers, and Wes holding the ball up. So I think, you know, we've got to look at signings. I know there's a lot being made about Benrahma from Brentford, Jared Bowen from Hull. I think those type of players. But then even now, you look at those players and thinking, you know, would they want to come to Villa now in a relegation battle? So I think
if these players are in a championship right now at Brentford, mate, they'd run to come to Aston Villa, because Aston Villa are a massive football club. Yeah, they're in the Premier League, and listen, they're still in the Premier League, do you know what I mean? So yeah, the worst comes to the worst and they go down, they're still a massive football club that will come, that can come straight back up. So I think if you're talking about signing players from the Championship like Brentford, I don't think you'd have any problems getting these guys, because they're a massive club.
Game day, your verdict on Talk Sport.
We do have Brendan Rodgers at the moment with Ian Abrahams.
Brendan, you changed your team, 9 changes tonight, no Jamie Vardy, and you still 1-2-1 and look pretty good doing so.
Yeah, no, we played very well. Most the just the turnaround and game time, I just could not afford to one risk injury for the players, especially after the 2 real intense games that we've had. And 2, it's the trust in the squad. The players are absolutely brilliant for me, and the players that aren't playing so much, they work so hard in training and suffer so that when they're asked to play, they can do that. So yeah, we had no doubt in what we wanted to do. You know, 4 weeks ago, we were putting in place some behind closed doors games, playing the likes of some of the players that we thought would play in some under 23 games, just to get some game time in their legs. And they've come here, and after such a quick turnaround from Liverpool, thoroughly deserved the 3 points.
Absolutely, I thought Perez was terrific. I thought Damari Gray, bar his penalty miss, was terrific. I mean, you won, I thought, really comfortably tonight. 2-1 doesn't really do you justice on how well you controlled the game. Is that fair?
Well, it's always tough. It doesn't feel that sometimes when you're now. We were disappointed with the goal that we conceded just before half time, because I felt we had good control of the first half, and once we broke through the lines of West Ham, then we looked really, you know, having good pace in the team, and it looked like we could score more goals. Like I said, we give away the goal at half time, but the reaction of the players was first class. We gained control again second half, and an outstanding goal by Damari, great pass by Ayo, and that's the winner for us. We had a couple other chances to seal the game, didn't take them, but overall, just so happy with the players and how they've played, because it's such a great group, such an honest group, and they got what they deserved today.
Are you now fighting for second place?
I haven't really thought, Moose, to be honest. I think that these players are, I think everyone recognises that the two best teams in the division are Liverpool and Manchester City. You know, their form over the last 2 or 3 years. So we're under no illusions, the quality of those opponents. But for us to be sandwiched in between them, it really shows how well this group have done and how consistent they've been. You know, and games like these here that are tough games away from home in the Premier League, we've won a lot of these and played well. We've won some big games, but we know that we've only been working 10 months together, and over the next couple of years we want to grow and develop so we can challenge even better the likes of the Manchester Cities and Liverpools. But at this moment in time, our assessment will be at the end of the season. Let's see where we finish.
Last one. Assuming you're going for second, but obviously you are. League Cup semi-final, FA Cup starts again. With the January window, I mean, are you looking to recruit more players, or have we seen tonight the fact that actually you've got probably pretty much 2 11s that you can use and trust is a word you've used?
Yeah, I think you always have to be on the lookout to improve. But of course, it's about the availability. You know, we won't be like maybe other teams in that top 6, we can just go and buy maybe whoever you want to buy. That won't be the case. I think we always have to be clever in our recruitment. You know, we know the profile of players that we want. If any are available, then of course we will look at it. But like you say, I can trust the players that I have. And of course, over the next few seasons, we want to keep adding and developing the squad.
Brendan Rodgers did say he would rotate. He was worried about the welfare of his players playing again so quickly. He did rotate. 9 changes he made. Jamie Vardy became a father today, so he wasn't even in the squad, but they did bounce back. What do you think of the way they responded to back-to-back defeats against City and Liverpool, Darren?
Yeah, I think they were tremendous. Played really well today. Listen, they were outclassed by Manchester City. Manchester City passed them to death, and obviously Liverpool, relentless, ruthless, tore them to pieces. So it's probably important, confidence-wise, they get back to it and show that they are a good team, which they are. We've seen Brendan Rodgers, what he's done to Leicester this season. And I know he spoke about Manchester City and Liverpool, yeah, being the best teams in the division. But listen, he's got to take credit from where he's at. He's right in the middle of them, and it's not like they're hanging on in there. Yeah, they've been beat by who he said are the two best teams, but they're still playing a brand of football that's really exciting to watch, and they're dismantling teams as well. As Moose said, it was 2-1 to Leicester, but it could have been 4-5-6. So for me, he's doing a fantastic job, and if Leicester can finish up there, which I think they will do, then listen, what an achievement that is. Again, I know they won the league a couple of years back, but I think they're playing better football now than they did then.
Yeah, those two results showed the work ahead to close the gap to the very best at the top. But he would have learned a lot about his players and about his squad in the way they responded to that, because it could have been really demoralising.
Yeah, it could have been. But what's good about him, and I think this is a testament to himself as a manager, is the squad rotation, as he spoke about there. Obviously, Jamie Vardy's had a baby today. Maddison was on the bench and he brought one or two in. And Demarai Gray, to me, he's got the ability to be in and around the England squad. But the only problem is it's not consistent enough. When he's on top form, the way he can go past people, he can finish, he's got that pace, that trickery. If he could put that more consistently and turn that into week in, week out, every single week, I'm telling you, he would be in and around the England squad. But these performances are too few and far between. But today he was very, very good, scored a great goal. And as I said, for the manager, Brendan Rodgers, to get some of these guys on top form when they've not been playing as regularly as they probably like, I mean, as again, they must be buying into what he's saying, and he's doing a terrific job.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.